Good morning and welcome to our service this morning in Jesus' name. God says through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 22, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." We turn to him now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening sentences are from Psalm 32. We read responsively. "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Dear friends, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take a moment of silence now to reflect on our sin and our great need for Christ, our Savior. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God speaks to us again through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." What God promised King David, he also promises to us. Jesus is the fulfillment of that everlasting covenant, which God extends to us, so that our souls may live. The death and resurrection of Jesus is God's confirmation of that promise. And for Jesus' sake, God offers us complete forgiveness of all our sins. Having confessed your sins and acknowledged your faith in Jesus for your redemption, now incline your ear. As a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord remembered us in our low estate. His steadfast love endures forever. He rescued us from our foes. His steadfast love endures forever. He gives food to all flesh. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His steadfast love endures forever. And now may the God who began this good work within you bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
People at home may greet one another with the sign of peace, while those of us who are at church this morning will be praising God with quiet voices for the protection of those around us, we invite you at home to shout to the Lord with Kristen and Zach, who will lead us in our song of praise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts now for the reading of God's holy word.
The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded by the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Epistle of St. Paul to the Church at Rome, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers and my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriots, and they're from race to race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Men ate of the bread of the angels.
He sent them food in abundance.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, hello, everyone. Good to see all of you all here, or all of you guys at home. I have a really important message for you today, and it's about something that you all hopefully have, about love. Now, you guys might have a favorite thing that you love. I have a dog, Olaf, and he is so wonderful. He can be a bit difficult at times, especially when he chews up my favorite socks, or he gets into the trash and just takes everything and tears it up everywhere, leaves a big mess. And I'm not really happy with him sometimes when he does that. Oh boy, I am not. You might believe that maybe you have something that happened to you guys. Some of you guys who have pets at home, if you have a dog, maybe you've had to pick up after they've made a mess. Or maybe you've made that mess, and your parents have to tell you to go pick it up. And even though I get a little mad or even sometimes bothered by what my dog Olaf does, I still love him all the same. Now, God's love, what I'm going to be talking about in this sermon, is very different than that I have that love for my dog, Olaf. But there is still that wonderful thing that God loves us even when we make some mistakes. And God loves us even when we're not always the best. Because God's love is something that is called unconditional love. And that means that there is nothing that will change God's love for you. It doesn't matter how good you are on one day or how bad you are on the next. God doesn't care about that. He just loves you unconditionally. It doesn't matter if you do everything wrong one day and the next day you do everything right, whether you disobey your parents, do not disobey your parents, listen to them, or if you listen to them every single hour of the day, God's love doesn't change. He loves you unconditionally. That also means that he loves you forever, because he sent his son to die for you and to rise from the dead for you. God's love is so unconditional that he chose you, even before you were born, to be his son or daughter, because he loves you that much. So as you go throughout the rest of this week, no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens within your home, I want you always to remember that despite what you do and what you might do, God loves you unconditionally. And we will continue with our sermon song.
Grace is so great, your mercy so deep. Wherever we go, that river still flows. We never find the end. You patiently wait, you tenderly see. We wander, we stray, but you know the way. You'll lead us home again. Your relentless love keeps drawing us, help us hear. There's no need to doubt. The cross made it clear. No matter the price you'd sacrifice to bring us back to you. In sorrow or joy, in pain. We still can believe, we can. relentless love. Oh. You never leave us, you won't forsake us. Your hold is strong, it cannot break. In every season, your heart's unchanging. Whatever turn we take, you never leave us, you won't forsake us. Your hold is strong, it cannot break. In every season, your heart's unchanging. Whatever turn we take,
grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Over the past several weeks and the past several months, I have come to a startling revelation. You ready for it? It's going to blow your minds. God loves us. I'm seeing by your shocked faces that you, or lack thereof, that this is no new news. And it shouldn't be. How many times have we come to church or and heard a message about God's love for us? About how many songs we have sung about God's love and what he has poured out for us? I mean, the Bible has psalms upon psalms about how much God loves us. And we even said in our service today the wonderful refrain, his steadfast love endures forever. This is still huge, though. This is still an amazing revelation that God loves us. We hear it from our reading today in Isaiah. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters without cost. Come to the, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. God is telling his people through the prophet Isaiah that he is there for them, that he loves them, that they can come to him and he will supply them for every need because he loves them. Because of the steadfast covenant that he made with David, the covenant that God says that I will be with David's family always, and that from him I will cause a Savior to rise, whose kingdom and love will never end. This is wonderful news. God loves us. And yet, this love is undeserved. I've been going through the book of Judges lately, making YouTube videos and Bible studies covering each of the major judges. And yes, this is a not-so-subtle plug of myself. Go on anything, Facebook. They're very good from what I've heard. At least, I hope they are. But I've been going through the book of Judges, reading about the people of Israel, reading about God's love for them, and about the judges whom God sends to his people to save them from the hands of their enemies. But going through this book, I have come to the conclusion that God should never love us. I mean, yes, the book is full of the sins of Israel, but the people whom God used to punish the Israelites are just as bad. The Midianites, the Pezerites, the Philistines, and there are a lot more ites, all of these nations have some of the cruelest tactics, practices, and religions ever recorded in history. Some of these religions would sacrifice children, babies, to their gods. And they would drive the people of Israel and the people they've conquered to the point of no return, often starving them out of house and home, sending them even to the mountains to starve and die. And the people whom God used to save them, well, they were no better. In fact, reading through Judges, I've seen now that God uses a judge that mirrors those whom he judges, the Israelites, and also who he saves the Israelites from. The first judge, Ehud, the first major judge, was more assassin than hero, and he killed the fat, cowardly king of Midian in a cowardly, dishonorable way by stabbing him while he was on the toilet. Gideon, one of the most famous of these major judges, yelled at God, put him to the test continually, and murdered many people just because they slighted him and insulted him. These are the people that God used to save his chosen people? And many times those chosen people were just as bad as their counterparts who are not following God. Reading through Judges, I have come to the conclusion that God should never have loved us. And yet, God still loves his creation. Why? This makes no sense to me. Even those after Christ's resurrection cling to this love that God has for us, which makes no sense. And those who follow this love often do and say things that, in the eyes of many, don't make any sense either. I mean, just look at our epistle lesson today from Romans. Paul says that he would rather be cut off from God for the sake of the people, Israel, his people. What great love Paul has for this nation that doesn't deserve it. Paul would rather be sent to hell, cut off from the love of God, so that others may be brought into the kingdom of Christ. And you have to wonder to yourself, why would Paul even want this? Why would he do this? The people of Israel hate Paul. They see him to be a traitor. He was stoned throughout the book of Acts. He was imprisoned, left for dead, driven out of house and home because of his faith in Christ. If God's love is so great, then why is that even happening to Paul? And how can Paul love anyone that much that even Paul would love the ones who drive him out of house and home? How can this love be? I mean, today, it's hard to have that love ourselves. People have a hard time loving anyone, it seems. There are many today who have gone into this hyper-individualistic self, to love only the self, to take care of only the self, to keep myself safe above all else. They won't even care about the thoughts and how to take care of their neighbors. There are those who maybe don't wear a mask. And it's not for saying that it doesn't work for them. Now, for some, that is a medical thing that they can't wear that. But for others, they do it in spite of helping a neighbor. But he doesn't even have to be that time, or even this time in this strange way, world that we find ourselves in. We do what is right in our own eyes, and often not caring for those around us. I see this all the time within the community I live, when people willfully go against the law that keeps others safe because it's inconvenient for them, or they personally don't believe in it. I see it in our greater nation, where the culture around us says, love the self more than loving others. Don't sacrifice for others. And if you do tend to sacrifice something for them, make sure you get something in return. Now, I understand that this is not the case for many individuals. But the staggering amount of selfish love, thinking we deserve any love, frightens me. It is clear throughout our history as people on this earth that we do not deserve love. Not especially not from God. And yet, God loves us. How? Why? This makes no sense. And yet, God keeps doing it. And maybe because it doesn't make much sense. Because the foolishness of man, the wisdom of man, is foolishness in the eyes of God. And what often God does is seem foolish to men. Because God, even despite all of Israel and judges going against him, still loved them and sent judges to save them. He still said to the people in Isaiah's time who rebelled against him that he loved them to come to him. He keeps giving out this love again and again and again. And one of the most greatest stories of that love is our gospel lesson here today from Matthew. See, Jesus was here. Jesus was in the midst of a very interesting part of his ministry. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus goes away for a little while in the beginning. You might be wondering, why does Jesus need to go away after he hears a thing? Well, the thing that Jesus heard was that his cousin, John the Baptist, had died. He just received the news of his beheading from King Herod. And he needed some time alone to process all of that. Remember, this comes in the Gospel of Matthew only a couple of chapters after Jesus was standing before the crowds of Israel and saying to them that, what did you go out to see John for? A prophet? A madman? But you didn't receive his testimony. This is the time when the people were starting to turn against Jesus, turning against John. He tried to explain to them in parables, teaching all these things, and yet these people were getting it. They were becoming more belligerent. They still weren't understanding that. His own family didn't understand that and turned him away. And now, to top all of it off, and all the stress, all the anxiety, all of maybe even that failure, he receives the news that his cousin, who he loves, is dead. He needs some time. And yet the people don't give him the time. Instead, they go out and they want to hear and go after Jesus. They want to go and get something from him, a miracle, a healing, a teaching. They want something and they just think they can go at any time, even in the most darkest time of a person's hour, when they want to just be alone and they have the audacity to come to Jesus and say, help me. What would you do? Would you turn them away? I know I would definitely want to say to them, go away, you're not listening to me, why should I care about you? Don't you see I'm dealing with my own stuff? No. Instead, when Jesus saw the crowds following after him, he looked at them and loved them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he went to them, and he healed their sick. He gave and outpoured his love to them, even knowing that there were some in that crowd who probably didn't believe in him, who would never believe in him. But yet he still outpoured his love upon them. Because when evening was coming, his disciples were saying, just send them away. And he said, no, I'll feed them. And so he gives them food, bread and fish to eat. There, he fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. And in this feeding of the 5,000, we see the love of God. He loved his people so much that despite the evils they did in the past, the tribulation that was occurring in the present, and the sins of their future, he still gives them sustenance freely and gives them love. In this way, he'll do it again. And the Lord's Supper, when he's about to be betrayed by one of his closest friends, he's going to be abandoned by the rest of them. He freely, out of love, gives his body and blood to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. Hours later, freely out of love, even to the people who hate him, who reviled him, who called for his death, he goes to a cross, and there we see the greatest love of all. He laid down his life for the world, for the sins of many. He became sin and died so that those who believe in him would not perish. And then he rose from the dead, God making him rise from the dead, so that those who cling to him shall not perish, but have the eternal life that God has given to them in Christ. He did this all for us, because God loves us. And it wasn't because of anything that we did. Quite the opposite. It's because of Christ. Because we are washed in his blood, that God sees us as loved children, beloved in his sight. This is the type of love that Paul clings to, this self-sacrificial, selfless love that brings about a miraculous change in the individual. When one loves others as Christ loves them, they turn from selfish desires and instead look to help others. They turn from self-gratification and look to satisfy instead the need of others. They turn from hating people who are not them, who hold different views and maybe even wish them harm, and look at them in love, willing to sacrifice themselves so that they too would know about the wonderful, all-encompassing, unconditional love of God. This love is undeserved, but we have it irregardless. We certainly don't deserve it, but that's the point. It is a love that knows no bounds, knows no limits, and is given by a God who wishes us to follow his example. Not to love the things of this world, nor the things of this flesh, but wholly give ourselves to Christ and live and work in that love that Christ freely gives to us. May we today live in this great undeserved love. May we live in this love to help those around us. May we live in this love to care for others and not so much ourselves. And live in this love so that we may show others the love of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to a world who needs it. Amen.
Let us now confess our common Christian faith In the words of the Apostles' Creed, we confess together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
We continue our worship with our gifts and offerings.
This morning we bring to God's throne of grace Donna Kuppler, who is experiencing some heart trouble and may be needing an installation of a pacemaker. We also want to remember our Southern Illinois District President, Timothy Scharr, who is dealing with some past surgeries and also currently some cellulitis. We want to remember Andrew Marshall, who is Ginger Kiefer's son living in Florida, dealing with the coronavirus. Cheryl Stevenson is Chris Kucher's sister, who is recovering from a shoulder injury. And finally, Muriel Mayer's brother, Roger Belter. We've asked for God's intercession on his behalf for a life-threatening gallbladder attack and surgery, and he's now in surgery. So let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, you invite those who are thirsty in this life to come to your life-giving waters. You invite those who have no resources to come, buy and eat, to buy wine and milk without money and without price. Such is your amazing mercy upon your people, undeserving as we are. So we come in this time of prayer as you have invited us, with petitions in our hearts, knowing that because of your amazing grace, you are always inclined to hear and answer our prayers for Jesus' sake. Hear now the prayers of your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Knowing that you have established your church by your word and spirit and endowed her with the means of grace, we pray for those who serve us in your name. For Matthew Harrison, our synodical president, for Timothy Scharr, our district president, and for all pastors and church workers as they continue to seek out new ways to energize the faithful in our currently restrictive environment. Raise up young men and women of faith who will follow in their footsteps and serve you faithfully on our behalf. Grant to all the redeemed here and around the world whatsoever they need to continue your mission to make disciples of all nations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, knowing that all power is yours, both in heaven and on earth, we thank you for all the blessings bestowed upon us in our nation and for all those who govern for the protection of the weak, the punishment of the lawless, and the encouragement of virtue among all people. In our nation's quest to form a more perfect union, remind us all that without adhering to your divine wisdom, no form of government will reach this lofty goal. Grant to our leaders and citizens more than lip service to your statutes, but a willingness to follow them. Grant to our nation, O Lord, contrite and broken hearts, and a spirit of compassion and empathy toward those whose rights and freedoms have been stripped from them. Grant us righteous pathways which lead us to understanding, reconciliation, and friendship with all people. Give us hope, O God, until that day when every hope will be fulfilled in the kingdom of God, where you reign eternally. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Broken and wounded, we come to you, O Lord, for healing, comfort, and consolation. Hear us on behalf of those who cry to you in any need, especially Donna Coupler, Timothy Scharr, Andrew Marshall, Cheryl Stevenson, and Roger Belter. We pause now to name silently in our hearts those whom we know are in need of your healing presence. Let your gracious will be done, that all the broken may be restored in the time of their affliction and raised to eternal life on the last day, to the praise of your glorious name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Christ, as quickly as we come to you to ask for help in the day of trouble, make us also quick to return and give praise to you for answered prayer. We sought your help on behalf of Cheryl Krantz's daughter, Tammy, and you answered. We thank you for her good report that she is free of the coronavirus. We also thank you, O God, for your grace, which rescued Muriel Mayer's brother, Roger Belter, from certain death. We thank you for his dramatic recovery. O Lord, you are good. Forgive us for the many times we fail to give you thanks. Hungry and thirsty, we all come to you, and we pray you to supply us with all things needful for this body and life, and to teach us to receive your gifts with lives of thanksgiving and unending praise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord Jesus, you are always mindful of the poor and those who struggle with daily needs. We ask you to grant us the good fruits of the earth and the fruits of our honest labors, that we in our abundance may be moved to supply what is needed for the poor, the helpless, and those whose circumstances are preventing them from gainful employment. Open the storehouse of heaven, that we may give glory to you for every provision in this life, and look forward to your ever-flowing provisions in the mansions of heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, look with favor upon Glenn Dalton, William Boswell, Wayne Huseman, Brian Conrad, Brooks Dalton, and Wayne Sell as they celebrate their birthdays this week, reflecting on past blessings and looking forward with anticipation to another year of your renewed blessing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we praise you for your unconditional love and grace. We thank you that you give us the power to love with such godly affection. So it is with gratitude we pray for our friends, Tom and Gwen Borsch, and Wayne and Kathy Huseman on the week of their anniversaries. Thank you, O God, for the gift of marriage. Thank you for what you've done for them in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you are their Redeemer and promise to bring them good things into their lives. We know, O Lord, that marriage can be tough, but we also know your grace is stronger than any adversity we will face. So grant to these wonderful couples marriages filled with the fullness of your love and cover them with your eternal blessing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and for all whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught and enables us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord smile upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We conclude with our closing hymn, In Thee is Gladness.